This is Sports Radio WEEI.
He and Brad Stevens sat down and talked. They had a good heart-to-heart where they just talked as people. And Brad Stevens has emphasized the human element of this. They didn't talk about, you need to play this way, you need to play that way. They just talked as two dudes who are in the NBA to kind of get each other's challenges. That Kyrie's like, Kyrie understands that Brad Stevens is trying to do his job, and Brad understands Kyrie's got a job to do, and they just kind of talk through things like co-workers, in a sense. And then from there, Kyrie, I guess, must have had some sort of realization, which he had kind of admitted to. He said, at one point in this trip, he said, you gotta stop fighting each other. Not everybody's out to get you. People aren't trying to fight you all the time. And I think sometimes he gets caught up in the media madness of being a superstar player.
John Corrales right there. Big thank you goes out to him from MassLive.com. This hour of WEEI at Night is brought to you by Shea Concrete. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. I find it totally fascinating when you look at the two different variables that had to come into play here. You had to have a complete change in attitude on this basketball team, and whether you are one to believe that this all took place over the six-hour flight out west, I don't know. I am skeptical when it comes to that, but the evidence points against my skepticism. I've been doing this a long time. I've been around this team a long time. And usually when things are going poorly as they were going this season, it takes a lot more than a six-hour essentially flight to turn things around. And what John said in one point during the conversation that we had together was that, you know, winning tends to hide a lot of what you know, ails a basketball team. And what I'm so impressed with is not so much that, you know, the wins have come, that were secondary. This team's attitude changed prior to the wins. So that, to me, is what blows my mind. We've all seen teams that struggle eventually get rolling and suddenly everybody gets happier because wins fix everything, right? But the wins came after the adjustment in the team attitude. So to me, that is what's so impressive about what we've seen on this West Coast road trip for the Celtics. And when we talked about Gordon Hayward, I cannot stress this enough. Gordon Hayward is the absolute X factor on this basketball team, and the numbers back it up. So Gordon Hayward on this road trip, game one against Golden State, he had 30 points. Game two against Sacramento, he had 12 points and the game winner. And then finally, game three against the Lakers, he had 15 points. And the fact is this, when you look at this Celtics season and you look at their splits, the Celtics are 21-4 on the year when Gordon Hayward has 12 or more points. But they're 16-20 when he has fewer than 12 points. Think about that for a minute. 21-4 is a stark contrast to four games below 500. 21-4 is winning 84% of the time, as opposed to winning just 44% of the time when Gordon Hayward has fewer than 12 points. So to me, that tells the story of the Celtics season. And to me, there's two variables that fall into place here. All right, Gordon Hayward, the basketball player, is certainly a very effective basketball player, even in his limited capacity that he's still at right now. I mean, if you watched him in the Laker game, you certainly saw the fact that he still struggles to be explosive when going to the basket, but he's finding other ways to create space for himself. So to me, he's actually adding to his repertoire. The optimist in me says, you know what, when he comes back next year, he could essentially, if he comes back 100% physically and mentally he's over the injury, he could be a better basketball player next year than he's ever been in the NBA, because he's adding tools to his tool belt right now that he didn't have to have before. Because he has lost a bit of his athleticism right now, he has had to find ways to create space to get shots off. And because of that, once he gets his athleticism back to where it was in Utah, he's still certainly more than young enough to pull that off. What you're going to have is the perfect combination of sort of moves and technique. And to me, that's what's really exciting about what's to come when it comes to Gordon Hayward's impact on this basketball team next year. I mean, that is still a ways off. And I found it very interesting, very, very interesting, when Mark Jackson was talking yesterday about the Celtics as part of the broadcast. He was talking about how the whole Anthony Davis situation really screwed up both the Celtics and screwed up the Lakers. And the Lakers, they still haven't recovered from it. There's been a lot of inability to forgive in that Lakers locker room. Those young guys, they don't want to forgive their team right now. They don't want to forgive LeBron James. They have a problem with LeBron. They got a problem with Magic Johnson. They certainly do, and they've got a right to. They have a right to be pissed off. On one hand, you know, you've got a team that wants to build around the youth, add LeBron James, and then in the offseason, the plan was to potentially add a Kawhi Leonard or Anthony Davis to the mix. But because the Lakers were struggling to be a playoff team, struggling to be consistent, they wanted to force the issue and really force that trade in season. And what that did was that completely divided that Laker locker room, and you've seen the evidence of that ever since the end of the Anthony Davis saga. And with the Celtics, it looked like it was doing exactly the same thing. Because, let's face it, the young guys that were involved in the potential trade packages, they knew that the Celtics couldn't trade them in season. But what do they do know? They know Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, these guys know, even Marcus Smart. They understand, they know that they are very much on the table when the postseason actually gets here. So whether it gets here at some point in April because the Celtics bow out early, or it gets here in June because the Celtics get all the way to the NBA Finals, eventually, whenever that gets here, what's going to happen? This team is absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt going to put those guys back on the trading block no matter how this season ends for the Celtics. They are. And, you know, if it ends in a trip to the NBA Finals, is that the right move to make? You know, I don't think it is. And I think that's going to be a very controversial topic around here. Because Danny Ainge, when he gets his eyes set on somebody, he absolutely does everything in his power to go get that guy. He's not always successful. And we've said this before. I still think that there is a bit of a smoke screen going on here. I think that Danny Ainge, because he's had his eyes set on Kevin Durant for a much longer period of time than he has Anthony Davis, I still think that getting Kevin Durant is at the top of Danny Ainge's wish list. But let's say, hypothetically, that this basketball team really has turned the corner, and they live up to the expectations that Las Vegas set for them, and they make it all the way to the NBA Finals, and they lose in five games, okay, to the Golden State Warriors, hypothetically. I think that there's a huge segment of Celtics fans that would want to see this team, you know, tweak and add a piece here or there. But because there's going to be some dismantling, whether it's Kevin Durant, whether it's Klay Thompson, there's going to be talent leaving Golden State. I think a lot of Celtics fans would be content to keep the team together and run it back the next year. And I think as a Celtics fan, I would rather see the team do that than trade in all their young assets for a guy like Anthony Davis. But if they bow in the first round and they show that this team's unable, they're not capable, they're just not the right group of guys, then at that point in time, you've really got to strongly consider saying goodbye to Jason Tatum, goodbye to Jaylen Brown, and everything else that it takes to flip these guys to bring in an AD or a KD in a sign and trade situation. So a lot of what this Celtics team winds up being, you know, for years to come, is absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt going to depend on what this team does throughout the postseason and their postseason run. And it sounds a little bit crazy to even suggest this, but this team isn't going to go as far as Kyrie Irving takes them. And to me, that is the most compelling thing about the final 15 games about this regular season for the Celtics. Forget about Kyrie Irving. He's going to give you, you know, what he gives you for points. And he's going to go out there, he's going to play the way that he plays. And whether he plays with a good attitude or a bad attitude, there's nothing that we can do to affect change in that regard. There's nothing that the fans can do. There's nothing that the media can do. Hell, there's nothing that Brad Stevens can do to affect Kyrie Irving and his mental happiness and his mental makeup. There's nothing that he can do. Kyrie Irving decided to have a better attitude, and he expressed that to his team on the plane ride. It's not like Brad Stevens pushed a magical button. So Kyrie Irving is going to be Kyrie Irving, and he is an X factor unto himself. But the X factor that I think is going to play the biggest role in how far this team makes it this year is Gordon Hayward. He is absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt the most important player on this team. He's not the best player, and you can certainly make the argument that he hasn't even surpassed Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum yet. I don't buy that. I think he's a better player than they are. But you can certainly give me a viable, great argument that those two guys right now are better basketball players than Gordon Hayward. But for whatever the reason, and I think it's because he's a multidimensional, multi-tooled basketball player that can make this team better on so many fronts. I mean, he's an elite passer. He can handle the basketball. He is certainly a capable rebounder. And offensively, he can stretch to three. He can get to the basket. He can do it all. And the healthier that he gets, the more of that offensive repertoire we're going to see here as Celtics fans. But the numbers don't lie. And when you look at the winning percentage, a 21-4 record, when the guy scores 12 or more points, I think that's all we need to know as Celtics fans, that this Boston Celtics team, this particular 2018-2019 edition of the Boston Celtics, is going to go as far as Gordon Hayward takes them. And that is a bit of a scary thought, because Gordon Hayward has not been able to be consistent at all this season. We've seen flashes, the two 30-point games against the Timberwolves. We saw the 30-point game against Golden State. But those games to me, don't tell the full story. I am much more impressed with what he did in Sacramento. And yeah, what he did in Los Angeles with limited opportunities. While he was on the floor, he was a player to be reckoned with. While he was on the floor, he was a difference maker. And what that does is that adds another layer to this Celtics team. And when he's playing effectively, guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and even Terry Rozier, they are far less likely to act up. They are far less likely to bitch, moan, and groan in that locker room when a guy like Gordon Hayward is playing well. Because what leg do they have to stand on at that point? They can no longer say, hey, I'm better than that guy. I need to be playing more minutes than him. You know, that was a huge factor into why this Celtics team continued to have infighting, continued to be full of drama, and continued to be a team that was unlikable, and people just were unwilling to sort of buy in and watch this team like they have in years past. So last week when I was doing Sports Final with Burton, I said that this team was broken. And he said, what is it going to take to fix it? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take to fix it. I don't think anybody could have predicted the magical plane ride that ultimately fixed maybe what has been ailing this basketball team. And while we can all point to that, it makes a great story. It makes a lot of fun. And, you know, we can point back to it at the end of the season and say, hey, it was all about the plane ride. To me, the plane ride is secondary to the sudden resurgence of a guy like Gordon Hayward, because he sets the tone for the second unit. I think eventually he'll find his way back into the first unit. But he's also a guy that allows everybody else to fall back in a line. Because when he's playing effectively, Jaylen Brown can no longer bitch, moan, and groan and complain. He can no longer be upset with his role. He can no longer be a guy that disrupts that locker room because he's unhappy with his playing time, because a guy like Gordon Hayward is getting more minutes than he is on a game-in and game-out basis. And I think Brad Stevens, if this works out, Brad Stevens is going to deserve a lot of credit in the offseason, because let's face facts here. He took a tremendous amount of heat. Matter of fact, Brad Stevens continues to take heat. There's a huge segment of the population out there that truly believes that the only reason that a guy like Gordon Hayward got the minutes he got this year is because he is sort of Brad's binky. He's Brad's boy from his days back at Butler. And I've told you all season long that I don't buy into that. That doesn't mean a thing to me. Yeah, do they have an existing relationship? Are they friends? Absolutely. But Brad is going to do what's best for this basketball team. And I think, and we talked about this all season, nobody imagined that when Brad was playing Gordon Hayward, the minutes he was getting earlier on this season, that it was going to take 60 games to get him back to being an effective basketball player. I don't think Brad imagined that. But the only way to get him back was to play him. So it's the ultimate catch 22. And we said it before, and I'll say it again. If you go back and you listen to the tape of Late Night, I said, ultimately, by playing this guy, playing Gordon Hayward, as many minutes as he's getting, despite the fact that he was ineffective, that's going to cost this team a handful of wins throughout the regular season. It may have cost them more than a handful of wins. It may have cost them 8, 9, 10 wins in the regular season. Ultimately, if Gordon Hayward were not on this basketball team, they would have been a much better regular season team. They would probably be a hell of a lot closer to the Milwaukee Bucks right now than they are. Absolutely. But by playing him those minutes, it was the only way to get him back to a point where he can now be an effective basketball player, and he's starting to look like the guy the Celtics invested all that money in as this team creeps closer to the playoffs. It is Sports Radio WEI. When we come back, we'll get to more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
It's WEI at night on Sports Radio WEI.
Yeah, yeah. And just making a choice. Throw yourself in the game, throw yourself in the rest of the season, throw yourself in the team. We have everything in the game. And for us, we've dealt with the expectations. We've dealt with the outside pressures of that infiltrating influence in our locker room. And it's no more time for that. It's about us, and it's about us competing and being well organized every single time we're out there. And like I said, it starts with me.
Kyrie Irving, again, from the post-game sound last night. Celtics win over the Lakers in Los Angeles. Right now, the Celtics are 3-0 on their West Coast road trip. Their trip through California. Think about that for a minute. 3-0. All three games have been in California. They'll look to sweep the California trip tomorrow night when they play a very good Clipper team, an overachieving Clipper team. I don't know if it's the best coaching job that Doc has ever done in his 20 or so years coaching in the NBA. Remember, he won Coach of the Year, his rookie year as a coach, getting an abysmally talented Orlando Magic team to 500, and I believe the 7th or 8th seed in the playoffs, but they were definitely 41-41. Doc won Coach of the Year that year, but listening to Mark Jackson yesterday on the broadcast, he tends to believe that this is the best job that Doc has done. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. And real quick before I get to the calls, I just want to say that in the broadcast yesterday, Jeff Van Gundy had mentioned something that we talked about here. Peter Vesey was on with me about a month ago, and Peter Vesey for years was as plugged in as anybody in the NBA. I mean, his nickname was Scoop, and you know, he got the scoops that were out there. He was also a huge part of the NBA on NBC television package back in the day. And you know, right now he's in his early 70s. He's still writing every day. He's got a Patreon, but he wrote for the New York Post for years. I mean, just he was New York's version of Bob Ryan, put it that way. And he's a great guy to have on the show. And he had mentioned on the show that, and this made some national news, that he had sources within the Lakers organization that said that there was some buyer's remorse from within the Lakers organization when it comes to the acquisition of LeBron James. And he suggested that there was the possibility that Magic Johnson may shop LeBron in the offseason, because ultimately Magic and Jeannie Buss wanted LeBron to complement the young talent. They didn't want to have to trade all of their young talent to appease an aging LeBron James, because what they're looking to do is build a program out in Los Angeles that is more than just a 2 or 3 year championship window. So as LeBron ages, the idea was that the young talent there, as they age, they get better as LeBron's game sort of goes on towards the back nine. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. I don't think anybody's got the stones to trade a LeBron James, but that was brought up on the broadcast yesterday that certainly is a possibility. Mark Jackson laughed it off, but the fact that Van Gundy brought it up sort of emphasizes what I think the larger point is that these two teams have gone in completely different directions, and Brad Stevens has taken a lot of heat this year, and with good reason, but he's not Luke Walton, right? And Brad had to do something to sort of corral this season, corral this team before it spiraled out of control like the Lakers season has. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to the calls. Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan's in Methuen. Jonathan, you're next up here on WEEI.
I don't know if you remember my call last week, but you were at the edge of the cliff before this road trip, and I think I hope I talked you off it.
I remember it was following the Houston game. I came in here and did a few hours, and you helped. You certainly helped, but I don't think even the most optimistic fan, Jonathan, could have predicted the way that this road trip has gone through the first three games.
Well, but keep in mind, Houston, when they play, look at Houston right now. They're the hottest team in basketball. They're one of the teams favored to win it all. I mean, everybody's back from their injuries, but what I want to talk to you about is what I, again, kind of reiterate what I said last week, because I think it's coming to fruition. It doesn't matter whether the team likes it. Let's assume they all hate each other, and let's assume that Brown, Rozier, and Smart have been disgruntled about the minutes they're getting all season. It's tournament time now, and what good does it do? I think they've come to the realization, probably discussed this on the trip down the west, at the West Coast. What good does it do these guys to get bounced? I mean, don't you want to be the only game in town in June so you can enhance your own personal career? Even if you are told by the coach you're going to get 15 minutes and that's it, come playoff time, we're ratcheting down the roster. It doesn't matter. There's, right now, you can watch 5 or 6 games. In June, it's you and one other team. And you have to be stupid not to want to play your butt off to get to that level and let the chips fall as they may in July. You know, it's a business. But right now, let's win a championship. Let's get that exposure. And 30 other teams are out, or 28, whatever. You're the only game in town. You're the only one that the whole country's watching. Why wouldn't you want to do that? I mean, I don't get that.
And maybe, you know, and John Corrales from Mass Live sort of brought that up, and I appreciate the phone call, Jonathan, brought that up in our conversation that, you know, maybe that was one of the things that was talked about on this magical plane ride, where there was this realization that maybe they have to put their personal issues behind them. There's 15 games left in the regular season now, and then what we hope is a deep playoff run. And Kyrie has reiterated this a couple of times on the road trip, where he's talked about now the Celtics have got a lot of ground to make up. And he's right. You know, nobody wants to see this team finish as a 5th seed and not have any sort of variation of home court advantage throughout the playoffs. That's a big deal. And not getting that number 1 seed, not having the home court advantage throughout the playoffs, could really come back and haunt this team. The number 3 seed is better than the 5 seed. It doesn't take a basketball genius to figure that part out. And right now, they're one game behind both the Sixers and the Pacers for that 3rd and 4th spot. Hopefully, they'll find a way to continue playing very good basketball and eventually catch up and grab that number three seed. It does look like the number two seed and, of course, the number one seed are out of reach. But that doesn't matter. If they're playing the best basketball going into the postseason and they're guaranteed home court for at least that first round series, I think that goes a long way towards helping figure out what the rotation's going to be and who's going to split up these minutes and sort of what role are these guys all going to have. When I talk about that, I talk about a guy like Marcus Morris. You know, Marcus Morris is a guy that for a 2-month stretch earlier this season was virtually unguardable out there. And while he's certainly had some big moments since then, his shooting percentage has declined rapidly, but his willingness to shoot the basketball hasn't declined at all. Ultimately, I don't know if that's the best thing for this team going into the postseason. Yeah, they certainly could use him during stretches of these, you know, critical playoff games where they're going to need somebody that's unafraid. And that's one compliment that you can certainly give to a guy like Marcus Morris. He is absolutely not afraid of the big moment. But is he the best option that this team has to put the ball in the basket during a big moment, maybe a closing moment of a playoff game where one additional basket makes or breaks the difference between a win and a loss? We shall see. And that's sort of the juggling that Brad still has to figure out here with 15 games remaining in the regular season. Is, you know, ultimately, do you mess with that starting lineup? Do you put a guy like Gordon Hayward back in that starting lineup? Does Jaylen Brown, has he earned his minutes? Has he earned his way back into that starting lineup? I think he has, but it's a delicate situation with just 15 games to go in the regular season. And you know, the caller brought up the business side of things. And what's really sucked, and you know, it's something that's continued to suck the last 4 or 5 years in the NBA, and it's only going to get worse before it gets better. And again, talked about on the broadcast yesterday, it was also brought up earlier this season with Scal and Mike Gorman. But I think yesterday it got some national attention and national pub. It's that once upon a time, and not even going back all that long ago, players, teams, they had to be sort of joined at the hip. They had to go out to dinner together. They had to form bonds, you know, and long-lasting friendships within an organization where there was some semblance of camaraderie, some semblance of team play, some semblance of loyalty to one another because they were spent so much time together. But now there's this ongoing and growing problem in the NBA where when you're on the plane, when you're on the team bus, when you're in the locker room, everybody's got their face down in their phones. They're, you know, tied up in their social media. And, you know, Dirk Nowitzki brought this up this past week. And he said that today's modern day NBA player is more concerned with their image on social media, their likes, their retweets than they are with winning. And I think he's 1,000% right. And to me, that has the potential to be the downfall of basketball. Basketball defines what a team game should be. And basketball defines, you know, what a unit should look like and how a unit can play well with one another. But if you don't have each other's backs and you don't play as a unit, you don't think of yourself as a unit, you're too busy, you're too locked into your phones, looking down rather than engaging with your teammates, then you're not forming those lifelong bonds that so many of these great Celtics teams of years past have formed, even going back to 2008. Let's be serious about this. 2008 was the second year that the iPhone was out there. And these guys are all multimillionaires. A lot of them had them. But at that time, the iPhone was in its infancy. And people, you know, certainly put their head down into their phones more then than they ever had before. But it was nothing like it is now. Now, if you go walking this spring, I challenge you guys, go to Boston and spend a day walking around. People are legitimately crossing the streets looking down. Nobody's looking up and around. Nobody is looking to see if they're going to bump into somebody or walk into a wall. Like, everybody's got their head in their phone at all times. And to me, that could potentially, you know, provide the spark that lights the destruction of team sports. They got to find a way to put rules in place. They got to find a way to limit their availability because a huge part of team forming is forming these friendships and relationships and sense of loyalty to one another. And that doesn't happen when you're too busy engaging with your social media friends as opposed to your teammates. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's grab one more before the break. Let's go to Dez. Dez is in Lowell. Dez, you're next up here on WEI.
Hi, good evening.
Hey, Dez.
I'd like to give some credit to Al Horford.
Sure.
I think he's been the most consistent player since the beginning of January.
I agree. He has been a force. He's looked a lot more like playoff Al than he has average Al the last month or so.
Yeah, overall, I looked at some statistic. I think he's shooting like 56% field goal percentage, like 36-37% field goal.
From three? Yeah.
35 out of 38 free throws.
He's been great. And you know what? But more impressively, I don't know if you noticed on this road trip, they're forcing the ball into Horford into the post. And he's actually hitting that baby hook, and he's rebounding pretty well down there. So they're utilizing his post skills as well. And I think sometimes they get away from that because they all fall in love with the three. But when he's in the post, it adds an additional dynamic offensively to this team.
Absolutely, but it's all-around play. I think you should be given more credit for it.
I think you're right, Dez, and you know, I'm the first guy here to tout Al Horford. You know, the best compliment that you can give Al Horford is he goes unnoticed. He goes unnoticed because he slowly and steadily performs on a night-in and night-out basis. You know, if you were like a guy like Gordon Hayward, who statistically was having a down season, he would be the story. He would be the headline with all the money that he makes, but he just kind of comes in, does his job, does it well, does it quietly, and at the end of the day, you know, we know that playoff Al is going to up his game. He's done it every year that he's been here, and he's done it this year. He's sort of been the glue that held this team together in their most difficult times. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. When we come back, we'll get to more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Get social with Boston's number one sports station, WEEI. Facebook, Twitter, and Insta. Live videos, opinion, and exclusive content. That's WEEI Sports Radio Network on Facebook, at WEEI on Twitter, and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Connect with the number one sports station,
WEEI Radio and
WEEI.
WEEI Sports Radio.
For over 25 years, the original WEEI.
I just moved to Boston for my first real job. Then I got sick and I needed to see a doctor but didn't know where to go. Everyone said I needed a primary care physician, but I don't even have one. Then I discovered UberDoc. It was simple and easy. I didn't even have to wait for my insurance. UberDoc, it's there when you need it.
Back to WEEI at night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Final segment here. WEEI at night. Patrick Gilroy with you. And tonight, I had my son in here. You guys didn't even hear him because he was so well-behaved.
But quiet like a church mouse.
He's sitting over here. He's got his headphones on. And Eamon, can you put his microphone up? Thank you. So Connor's in here with me. And Connor, you said that you wanted to talk about your broken finger, right? So last week, you guys didn't hear me here because I took the kids skiing for the first time. And I got to tell you, none of us ski. None of us ever ski. But my company, you know, Lollipop Company, has got a phenomenal brand new sort of ski condo at the top of Loon Mountain. It's incredible. Like you go, you're literally on the top of the mountain. So when you open up the windows, you know, you wake up in the morning, you look out and there's people skiing right by you. It's insanity. And the owner of the company has been asking me to get the family and to come up and let's learn how to ski. And Connor is a guy that sort of is accident prone. So we were a little bit afraid that Connor was going to get hurt, but instead, we may have found his sport. So Connor, tell me, when you were skiing last week, right, did it surprise you how well you could do it?
Yes.
So what did you like about it?
It was just really easy for me.
Yeah? So you didn't get hurt at all skiing?
Yeah.
So how the heck did you wind up with a brace and a cast on your finger?
So, this is pretty dramatic.
Everything with you is dramatic, my buddy.
Yes.
All right, so what happened?
I didn't get hurt on skiing, but after when we left, I shut my finger in the door.
You did. And it turned all kinds of black, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now it's a broken finger, which means you can't play piano for the next few weeks, right?
Yep.
And we're lucky that flag football is still about a month away. Otherwise, you couldn't play that either. But real quick, Connor, the reason why I wanted you to come on is because one of the things I love most about you is that you are brutally honest. You don't care about people's feelings. You know, you just say it and then you deal with the aftermath. So yesterday, the Celtics, they played the Lakers, who we don't like anyways because it's the Lakers. But, you know, who plays for the Lakers that we don't like in our world?
LeBron James.
And why don't we like LeBron James, Connor?
He's a bad teammate. He quit on his team and he gave himself his own nickname.
That's so horrible, right? I mean, could you imagine, you know, you want to create your own nickname for yourself and then going to school and saying, call me this. The whole thing with a nickname is somebody has to give it to you for it to matter. And he named himself the king. All right, Connor. I appreciate you joining me, Connor. Get back to Minecraft. All right. We'll be out of here in a minute. We'll take you to dinner in a minute. Go back to Minecraft. Put the microphone down. Good job, Connor. All right,
killed
so
it.
He did.
He's going to be doing 6 to 10 Monday through Friday pretty soon.
You know what? His schedule is more open than mine, so if we're still looking over here, by all means, you know?
Not following in the father's lollipop salesman
shoes. If he did, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I got to tell you, it's a lucrative business.
Ski mountains at the top of Loon sounds pretty good to me.
It's incredible. It's like we do all right in the lollipop business, but I hope that he wants to get into this. I hope that he doesn't make the same mistake that I made. And it's not to say that meeting his mother and falling in love at a young age was a mistake. But if you do want to get into this, anybody, here's advice that I give to everybody. You got to be willing to put your own needs secondary and to be willing to go to market 300 and earn your way to market 200, then market 100. And because I experienced some success early on, more out of a product of necessity, doing the Celtics pre, post, and halftime stuff on their flagship station at 21 years old, I was under the illusion that I didn't need to do those things. But the moment that station went under, I found myself on the outside looking in, and it took 18 more years of doing the grind to get here and work the part-time overnight shift. So, if he does want to get into this, there is certainly a path to success where he doesn't have to copy my path necessarily. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. This has been WEEI at Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. I'll be back here again for more late-night fun tomorrow night, 8 to midnight tomorrow night. So the shift is a little bit different tomorrow night, but I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting home at 1 a.m. instead of 3 a.m. 8 to midnight tomorrow night, and then Tuesday I'm back again for more late-night fun from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., but then I'm out of here. I'm not here Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. So Wednesday I'm going to Norfolk. Thursday I'm going to L.A. Friday I will be in Las Vegas. Then I red-eye at home on Friday night where I get back to Boston on Saturday morning. It is the luxurious life of a lollipop salesman, let me tell you. So my name is Patrick Gilroy. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow night. Stay tuned. It is the best of WEEI. That comes your way next. Bye-bye.
Woo! Woo! Let's go Celtics!